Afternoon. It's a new day at High Point. I could not almost get motivated to speak without the smell of barbecue. And doesn't mean we won't ever have barbecue again, but if you'll read all the way through the email we send out, we'll give you the menu each week. We'll probably try two or three different caterers here and see if we can get a consensus of what people like. But things went out well. The difference is McKeska's would always come, and it just whatever they served, that's what they charged. You know, they collected the money at the door, and so we had no overhead at all with them. Caterers normally don't work that way, you know. So we guarantee them a number, and whether that many people eat or don't eat, we're gonna take care of that. But my commitment to you is, we will keep it at $8. We'll try not to raise that price. And today we took a little bit of a hit on that with the caterer, and that's okay. We will also try not to compete with the fast food court, okay? So we won't have sandwiches. We won't have pizza probably. Won't have pancakes. It'll be something of a hot nature, and we'll let you know in advance what it's going to be. But I appreciate you all being faithful. I told someone early on, it was people were a little slow coming in, and I said, well, we're going to find out today whether they really like the Bible or barbecue, you know? And I appreciate your being here. Let's have a word of prayer. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Father, thank you so much for the food that we've had. And Father, I thank you that life is choices. And a lot of people choose to bring their own food or to go to the food court or to make their own or eat healthy or even fast. And Father, I think it's great to be able to have choices, and we want to be able to provide the choice of being able to come during their lunch hour and study God's Word, and that's the key thing that we want to provide. So give us wisdom in that. Bless this food to the nourishment of our bodies, and Father, let our bodies be used to glorify your name and be used for your service. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. First 4 weeks of this new year, it's kind of a New Year's challenge. Last week was to be spiritually fit. This week is to be physically fit. Next week is to be financially fit. And the following week, relationally fit. So if you come all 4 weeks, your life will be perfect by the end of January. Every aspect of your life will be perfect. Well, you know that's not the case, but we need reminders from time to time. I am the last person in the world. Probably I'll be talking about physical fitness. You know, I mean, I flunked eighth grade pull-ups, you know, struggled with weight all of my life. And you don't really realize it. It just kind of gets away with you. I remember when I was a youth minister, I had been at this church, I guess, 12 or 13 years. And me and one of the college kids, we were reminiscing about it. And he goes, yeah, I remember when you first came. He goes, you were really chunky, you know. So I don't remember being chunky, but, you know, you just kind of go through these phases of life. And Paul's challenge in 1 Corinthians, he said, let your bodies glorify God. Be physically fit. That's our subject today. And realize he's talking to a culture that's heavily influenced by Hellenistic thinking. That is Greek culture. And the Greeks saw a duality. They saw the spiritual and they saw the physical. Now, I'm kind of approaching it, you know, physical, financial, relational. There are a lot of different aspects of us. But the Greeks saw it clearly in two parts, that we are a physical being, we are a spiritual being. And they didn't see a lot of overlap between those two. They felt like spirit was good, physical was corrupt and bad. It's obviously spirit is eternal, physical dies. So in their minds, that was the thinking of the day. And so there were two major schools of thought that you've probably heard about. The Epicureans. Spirit's good. Physical is bad. So the physical doesn't matter. You do whatever you want physically, and it has nothing to do with your spiritual nature. So the Epicureans, you've probably heard their slogan, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we may diet. Well, actually, it's not quite what they said, but they really felt like you just live for today, you satisfy the lust of the body, doesn't matter what you do, has no relationship between you and whatever God you worship, because the physical is irrelevant. Now, the Stoics saw it a little bit differently. The Stoics felt like the physical was relevant, but it was actually a detriment to the spiritual. So the Stoics felt like you deny the physical. Epicureans, fulfill the lust. Stoics, deny the physical. They felt like no matter what life throws at you, you're not going to react to it. You're going to focus so much on the spiritual that you just deny. So stoicism has become a part of our culture. Paul saw it differently in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. He's talking about immorality. I don't want to mislead you on the context. He's not given 5 points of physical fitness here. He's talking about immorality, but his concluding verse is applicable to our lesson today. Don't you know that the body is a sanctuary or a temple or a tabernacle? Don't you know that your body is a sanctuary of the Holy Spirit? Now, think about that concept for a second. The Greeks taught that spirit and body never intertwined. You either denied it or you fulfilled it. That's why the incarnation of Jesus Christ was such a falsity to the Greek way of thought. They just couldn't imagine that God would indwell this evil body, this material body. But Paul says, don't you know that your body, physical, is a sanctuary of the Holy Spirit? Okay, this is a whole new line of thinking in this Hellenistic world. Who is in you, whom you have from God? He said, you're not your own, for you were bought with a price. That's the concept of redemption, that you were redeemed out of slavery to sin. You were bought with a price. Peter calls that price the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, bottom line, end of chapter 6, glorify God in your body. Now again, don't fulfill the lust, Epicurean. Don't deny your lust or deny the body, Stoics. He said fulfill God's. Glorify God in your body. So that kind of was my starting point, and I decided, okay, where do we go from here? I want to talk to you about the importance of sanctuaries. He says, don't you know that your body is a sanctuary of the Holy Spirit? Now, that's not just a hiding place. That is not just a cave or something that's irrelevant. A sanctuary has an incredibly important place in Scripture. In the Old Testament, it was known as the tabernacle. Remember, Moses dictated from God to build this kind of portable worship place. And so every time the Israelites moved through the 40 years of the wilderness, they had to pack this thing up, load it up, move it to the next place, set it up. I did a whole 5-week series one summer at Houston's First Baptist Church on the tabernacle. And I was, you know, I have a problem with a pup tent. You know, I mean, you kind of pull a string and the thing pops out, and I can't even set that up right. You know, it always is kind of lopsided and doesn't get right. The sanctuary was incredibly complex. The tabernacle was incredibly complex. One commentator said it took 6 days for God to create the heavens and the earth. He said it took 40 days for him to explain his design for the tabernacle to Moses. It takes one chapter, basically, to describe the creation of everything. It takes at least 6 chapters to describe the building of the tabernacle. Tabernacle, just by sheer volume of time and volume of words, very, very important to God. Tabernacle also, you know, wasn't just this kind of goat skin thing on poles. I mean, you look at this and you get an idea of the complexity of it, but a picture doesn't do it. One commentator estimated, translating shekels and talents into pounds, there were, have any of you ladies, this is just curiosity, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but have you heard about these little gold parties where you've got one gold earring and a bracelet you don't like anymore, and they actually come to your house and they weigh it and they shell out money for it? You know, I mean, what's gold going for an ounce right now? How much? $1,650 an ounce. And so there are multiple ounces to a pound. And so you do the math. Someone estimated that with the hinges and the clasp and all the inlaid work, the things that were to be covered with gold, there were about 1,900 pounds of gold in the tabernacle. There were about 6,400 pounds of silver in the tabernacle. There were about 4,500 pounds of bronze. Now, again, I kind of go back to the packing up and building every time you move. I mean, that gets really, someone one time said, tie me, you know, over a fire ant pile, but don't make me move. I mean, just moving makes me break out in hives. But just the complexity of this tabernacle talks about the importance of sanctuary to God. That's the whole point. Sanctuaries are important to God. Let's look at the temple. The temple in the time of Jesus was known as one of the seven wonders, or we look back on it as one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. When the disciples said, Jesus, behold the temple, they said when the sun came up from the east and shone on the golden dome of the temple, it was literally blinding. This is just a model that sits at the museum in Jerusalem today, but that's the city of Jerusalem. And that's the temple courtyard in the foreground. You see what a prominent place it was. There were several different kind of resurrections of the temple. There was Solomon's temple in all of its glory. It was destroyed by the Babylonians. And then the Zerubbabel came back. And then it was improved. And then Herod improved it during the time of Jesus. But again, an incredibly important thing. In fact, the Jews felt like Jerusalem would never be conquered because God would never allow his temple to be destroyed. Very, very important in Jewish thought. Old Testament, New Testament. So when Paul says, don't you know that your bodies are the sanctuary, your bodies are the temple, your bodies are the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit, it's a powerful statement. God takes a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of money, if you will, to create sanctuaries in his word. And now he says our bodies are the sanctuary, the temple of the Holy Spirit. Let's talk about the downside of poor maintenance. You know, the old, was it the Fram oil filter commercial? You know, you can buy this little oil filter or you can wait for your engine to seize up. And what was the tagline? Pay me now, pay me later. It's kind of the way it is with maintenance of your body. Pay me now or pay you later. As I get older and go to the doctor and he gives me good news and bad news, I understand that there is a downside of bad habits with the body. I asked my son if I could use him as an example. I'd much rather use somebody else as an example than myself. This is my son eating, okay? Tyler has always had an incredibly voracious appetite. In high school, he had an incredibly high metabolism. So he could literally eat whatever he wanted to eat and not gain an ounce. It just drove the girls he dated nuts. It was always something. I mean, I've seen him go into ice cream parlors, walk up to the counter and say, what's the richest sundae you could create? And I've seen these guys' eyes light up, both with dollar signs and creativity, and them start pouring syrup and ice cream. And he would eat every bit of it. He would go to a restaurant and say, what's the richest dessert that you could create? You know, and it almost became a matter of pride with Tyler that I can eat whatever I want. I'm not going to gain an ounce and you poor slobs. Well, it caught up with him. Next slide. This was about 3 years after he got married. His metabolism caught up with his eating habits. And he really didn't see a problem with that. It worried his mom and myself. It worried his wife, you know. They say that just putting on an extra bit of weight like that, heart disease and stroke, high blood pressure, diabetes, cancer, gallbladder disease and gall, this is from WebMD, osteoarthritis, gout, and breathing problems such as sleep apnea. A person can kind of be Epicurean with their body and say, it doesn't matter. I mean, when I would get chunky, I would say, well, man looks on the outward appearance, God looks on the heart. You know, it's really no problem. But there are some consequences to poor maintenance. Sleeping, just whatever. Now, the good news, and the reason I want to share this with you, is today, you want to flip up the next slide, he's lost 50 pounds. And I don't know exactly what the trigger that was switched, But he at some point realized, I cannot go on eating everything I want and not have consequences to show. I shared last week with a friend that struggled with obesity. It was a lot worse, even a lot worse than what we've seen here. But he struggled with obesity, and he said, you know, the fact of the matter is, if all sin resulted in getting in obesity, we'd all be fat. Because the Bible says we've all sinned. That's just one that's visible and obvious. But it does have health consequences. I read on WebMD, a modest weight loss, just 10 to 20 pounds, can bring significant health progress. I'm not saying that you have to go all or nothing. Tyler has actually made this a spiritual discipline. He, it's funny, right before the Christmas holidays, he and Lauren were on a two-week fast, just pretty much water and bread for 2 weeks. And they got three preschoolers. You know, my heart goes out to them, you know. And so fasting and spiritual discipline has become a part of his overall kind of health maintenance. And I would suggest that, you know, if you're interested in that, there are some health benefits to fasting, but basically fasting from whatever, fasting from sugar, fasting from, you know, fatty things, fasting from solid food for a period of time allows you to concentrate on the spiritual. So anyway, they went through this pre-holiday fast, and we were concerned about him and, you know, lifting him up and all this kind of stuff. Then he goes to church on the first day of the new year, and they're at this kind of, he said, expressive church. I think that means non-Southern Baptist church, you know. But anyway, that's where they're at in Hong Kong. And the pastor announces on the first Sunday of the year, I'm calling the church to a 20-day fast. Now, they just got off of a 14-day fast, you know, and but he said they're doing anything that'll go in a blender and they can drink in a glass, that's a part of the fast. So he said it's been a challenge to see, you know, what we can blend. But he is doing well. I'm real proud of him, though. About 50 pounds he lost. What's that kind of internet high activity, P96? Okay, he got into that big time, okay? So it's not just losing weight, it's also getting in shape. And he was in North Korea, actually, where everything's monitored and everything's done. And so he's going through this workout. He says, you know, I figured there were cameras in the room watching me. And I realized a lot of this stuff is kind of martial in nature. You know, you're lunging and you're marching. And he says, I just wondered what the Security Bureau reported about me after I got through with my workout. But I'm real proud of him. He is in top physical health, and he feels like if my body is a sanctuary, then I ought to invest in my body. I'm real proud of him. I think there's some downsides of poor maintenance. I think there's some, it's not the Greek thought that the body does not matter. It does matter, and we need to glorify God. So how do you do that? He said, glorify God in your body. How do you do that? Four things. Number one, I think by being physically fit. Let me give you three W's. There, I mean, you can go online and Google tips to physical fitness. You can get a list of 30. You can get a list of 50. You can do blood work with your doctor, and he'll tell you all kinds. You can get covered up on tips to health. Let me give you just three simple things you can do that have worked for me. Like I said, I've struggled the last year. I've lost about 17 pounds and been able to keep it off. And I three things I've done. Number one, watch what you eat. You know, it's no big secret that fatty food and fried food is going to get you in trouble. I had the national director of First Place as a member of our church, Carol Lewis. She said, you know, basically you can eat all the fruits and vegetables you want. You know, that's not going to get you in trouble. And if you can get in, you know, when you want that evening snack after dinner, if you can go for some grapes or an apple rather than a Hershey's bar, you're a lot better off. Watch what you eat. There was a cartoon in a paper I saw the other day. I think it's BC, actually, and one of the characters is named the Fat Broad, and so the cute chick and the Fat Broad, those were the two characters, and the cute chick goes up and says, how's your new year? And she goes, I started a diet. And she goes, wow, what have you lost so far? And the Fat Broad said, my will to live. And That's the thing about the physical. I mean, it can control us. It can control our emotions. So just watching what you eat. I got a little online. There are different things that work for everybody. I've tried Weight Watchers and Jenny Craig and Nutrisystems. I've tried First Place was very, very helpful to me. But the record keeping drove me nuts. So I mentioned, I think, last year about this time that I got a little app on my phone called MyFitnessPal. And literally you set a goal. It gives you a calorie amount per day, and then you just plug in everything you eat, and it ruthlessly tells you how many calories that is. And so I'll sit sometimes and look at a menu, and I go, am I going to get that? And I'll plug it in my little phone app, and it'll tell me how many calories and how many fat grams. I go, yeah, that's going to take it for the next 3 days. I better not do that, you know. And it has it by brand name and restaurant, and it's a free app on the phone, and that's worked for me. That's allowed me to be accountable to something rather than just looking at the menu and seeing what looks good. And, you know, it all looks good. Seafood diet. Seafood, eat it. Watch what you eat. Second thing, walk. Walk. Now, I've got people in here that run marathons. Anybody run the Houston Marathon Sunday? Anybody in here? Okay, real good. Give them a hand. It's terrific. I've got a lady at our church, works full-time at our church, Caroline, runs triathlons. You know, she's a triathlete. So I just kind of like duck my head and walk the other way every time I see her coming. So, I mean, I am not that physical fit. But just a little bit, the difference between laying on the couch and walking a half mile each day is huge in terms of your health. Just doing a little bit. Now, you know, for the marathon runner, I've got a guy that's ran I think in 23 marathons, but he's got health problems that he's having to deal with in terms of joints and feet and that sort of thing. So, what works for you? But walk. If you can't run, if you can't, you know, go to the gym, just walk. The we went to these palace ruins outside of Rome of this, I don't know, emperor or something. But they had a walking path on the grounds. And they said the Romans were just religious about having an after-dinner walk. They just felt like that was the big thing. And there is some medical evidence to that. Just after you eat, just walk. Use the stairs instead of the escalator. Use the stairs instead of the elevator. Just get some exercise. So watch what you eat, walk, and then drink water. Unfortunately, our culture has moved away from water. Now, the younger people, they have the bottle of water all the time, you know. Me, I'm always into coffee and Frappuccinos and Powerades and Cokes and all that kind of stuff. The body needs water. It's a replenishing thing. So we will always have water for you here on Wednesday. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatsoever you do, whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. Make it a spiritual decision. We're going to talk about next week that every financial decision is ultimately a spiritual decision. Well, I think in terms of your body, it is also a spiritual decision because your body is the sanctuary of the Holy Spirit. By being physically fit, how do we glorify God? Through our mouths. James talks in James 3 that the tongue, what we say, he says very complimentary terms. It's a out-of-control fire. It is deadly poison. It's an untamed beast. When we think of glorifying God through our bodies, we think of, yeah, I want to be like Mr. Universe. No, what we say impacts the glory of God through our lives. We can encourage people. We can discourage people. We want through our mouths to be a glory to God. And the Lockhorns comic strip, The wife is talking to her neighbor and said, Leroy got some bad news from the doctor today. He told him to lose weight, eat right, and exercise. That's bad news from the doctor. With our mouths, though, we glorify God. Through our minds. It's interesting. I Googled seven deadly sins. We don't talk about those so much anymore. Seven deadly sins. Listen to these. Lust, gluttony, greed, sloth, wrath, envy, and pride. Almost all of those are of the mind. We think of murder and, you know, knocking over a 7-Eleven, but the seven deadly sins traditionally have all had to do with the mind. What did Paul say in Philippians 4-8? Whatsoever things are true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable. Think on these things. What did he say in Romans 12, 2? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When we talk about being physically fit, it's not just having low blood pressure and low cholesterol. It's also having your mind sharp for the kingdom of God. Let me tell you, the big battle in America today is over the battle of the mind. I don't know if you saw online, but Louis Giglio, who's spoken at our church numerous times, leads the Passion Movement, just came out of Christmas. They had 70,000 college kids in the Georgia Dome for the Passion event. Well, he was invited to speak at the to pray to give the benediction to the at the inaugural. And the planners of the inaugural said, we want it to exemplify diversity. We want people from all walks of life. So it's almost like we even wanted to invite an evangelical pastor to the inaugural. So he's going to do the benediction. The blogosphere just absolutely blew up because 20 years ago, he preached a sermon saying marriage should be a heterosexual experience between men and women. And there was such a firestorm of controversy over that he bowed out and said, I don't want to be the focus of attention. I want Jesus to be the focus of attention. In an editorial in the Washington Post, they call Louis Giglio an unrepentant bigot. Now, he only said what about 40-something percent of Americans believe and will testify to. But there is a battle for the mind in America today. And we've got to be sharp and know what we believe and know why we believe it. Listen to what D. James Kennedy said back in the 90s. When you have an immoral society that has blatantly, proudly violated all the commandments of God, there's one last virtue they insist upon, and that's tolerance for their immorality. They'll not have you condemning what they've already doing that's wrong, and they have created a whole world construct in which it is not and in which they are no longer the criminal or the villain or the evil person. You are. You are the criminal for condemning what has traditionally been taken as morally wrong. So Kennedy says, and so they call evil good and good evil. And believe me, that's just the beginning. We have a battle in America today for the mind, and we need to have sharp minds. Read good books. Listen to good speakers. Go to church. Come to High Point. Sharpen your mind. And then finally, in our activities. Intentional exercise, as I mentioned. I think intentional associations. You are like who you hang around, right? You lie down with dogs, you wake up with fleas. Look at your associations. Look at the people who influence you. Be intentional in your associations. We have three words in our church that define what we believe means to be a fully devoted follower of Christ. That is, we gather, we grow, and we give. We gather to worship as a church, and that should be a part of your activities. We grow in the Holy Spirit. We grow in the study of the Word of God. We grow in the Christian disciplines. And then we give our lives away. Part of being physically fit is being able to be reporting for duty every day wherever God wants you to be. Whether it's on a short-term mission trip, whether it's digging a water well with Richard in Central America with living water, whatever God calls you to do, be physically fit and ready to do it. One of the great movies, I think, of all time is Chariots of Fire. Gave the story of Olympic athlete Eric Liddell and his convictions of what God had told him to do. Very few people who watched the movie probably knew that Eric Liddell became a famous missionary to China and proclaimed God's word, and that was his calling of his life. But in that, what has been described as one of the most dramatic parts of a movie of all time, he's finally overcome so many trials, and he's in the Olympic race. He's in the Olympic race, and the hopes of a nation are there on Eric Liddell. And the thought that's going through his mind is this, something that he told his sister earlier in the movie. He said, I believe God made me for a purpose, but he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. I think our physical bodies should glorify God by allowing us to feel God's pleasure in what we do. Whether we eat or drink or whatsoever we do it to glorify God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for the reminder. Father, you know that if chocolate hadn't been invented, I would weigh 112 pounds. I love sweets. I love chocolate. I love fried stuff. And that is a temptation to me. Other stuff, not a temptation. That's a real temptation. And so it's a personal struggle that I have to try to have my body reporting for duty every day. Help and remind us that our bodies are the sanctuary of the Holy Spirit. And help us to, with loving care, discipline, renew our mind, our body, and our spirit. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. God bless. Thanks for coming.